of your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so even in Christian circles, Revelation is very controversial, right? There's lots of things that you can read into. There's lots of things that are taken out of context. So provided the right context, I think, is everything for everything. And in Revelation 3, in Revelation 1 through 3, John is writing letters, seven letters to the seven churches. And so when we are hearing Revelation 3, I want us to remember that who he is speaking to is not what they considered pagans. Who he's speaking to is not the non-believers. Who he is speaking to is the church. These are followers of Christ, followers of the way, as they called themselves back then. These are followers of Jesus. So I would say it would be safe to assume in this room this morning, that is the majority of the people who are in here. Probably we're followers of Christ, right? We're followers of the way. But the reminder that John sent to them is something that's pretty unbelievable. And if you think about, if you study Laodicea and you study the other seven churches in the book of Revelation, you know that Laodicea was a very wealthy community. They were rich. They had everything they needed. They were at the very forefront of finance. They were looked at as a pillar in healthcare. They came up with different compounds and different things. They were the olden days major pharmaceutical company, right? They came up with all different things of healings, of different illnesses and different things that they had issues with back in that day. In healthcare and banking and also architecture, they had everything that they needed, everything that they needed. And again, he's writing to the believers. So I'm gonna read this for us again, Revelation 3. And if you have your copy of God's word, you can read along. And again, the title here says, "To the church in Laodicea, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen," the words of God. That's what he's talking about there. "The faithful and true witnesses, the ruler of God's creation, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. You have acquired wealth, and you do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." That should make us feel good this morning, right? "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes so you can see. To those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And so the first point in Revelation that I think we need to take away from there is when he talks about lukewarm, I want to kind of set that stage first. When he talks about lukewarm, if you read about Laodicea and you study about it, which I did this week, you probably haven't, but I did this week preparing for the sermon, you realize that, yeah, they were very wealthy, and yeah, they had everything that they possibly needed under the sun except for one thing, and that was clean water, okay? So Colossae was not far away. It was a mountain area. There was plenty of water there that came down from the mountains. It was cold. It was nice and cool. Hierapolis was another town that was about 6 miles away, and they had a hot springs, and their water was very clean. So they had aqueducts that were bringing water in from both of these places because they themselves did not have the water. The water in Laodicea was calcified. It smelled like sulfur. There's some communities around here, if you turn the spigot on, you smell it. Not going to call any names, Long Beach. But sometimes the water smells bad. And so God knew that when he used that term lukewarm, and I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, it would resonate with them because that's how it was when they literally drank their own water. So the first point is that God is knocking. He's knocking. Why does somebody knock? Why does someone knock? If they come to your house and they knock, why do they knock? because they want to come in, right? And so what Scripture teaches us here is God wants to come in. Well, why does he want to come in? He wants to come in because he wants to have a relationship with us. That's the body of this text here. It's not about making someone feel bad because of things that they've done. It's not to say, hey, you're a lukewarm Christian. You need to do more. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to give more. That's not the context of the Scripture. The context of the Scripture is that God is saying to the church, God is saying to Trinity, God is saying to Michael Walker, to each of us individually, hey, I'm here and I'm knocking on the door and I want to come in. And so in order for us to do that, a lot of times we think that we have it all figured out, like the people in Laodicea. We can stand back and we can look at them and say, who do they think they are? But I think a lot of times that's me. And a lot of times that might be you. That might be us. Is we think we all have it figured out. But God says in this text, all he wants to do is spend time with us. All he wants to do is come in, pull up a chair, and sit down and have a meal with us. All he wants to do is have a conversation with us and us to have a conversation with him. But a lot of times we say to him, you know, God, you don't understand. This job promotion or this event or this thing that I'm doing is super, super important. Well, what does God do? He just knocks. He said, I'm still here. I still want to come in. We keep him out. We might say to him that, God, you know, you don't understand. I've waited my whole life for this opportunity to do this or to do that, whatever it might be. We keep him out. But what does God do? He knocks on that door. Said, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Because he wants a relationship. That's all. A lot of times we think that he always is wanting something from us. He's always wanting us to do more, right? We can't do enough to earn favor with God. It's impossible to earn favor with a perfect God. There's nothing we can do enough of. But the doing is an overflow of how we feel about our Creator, of what he's done for us. Because all he wants with us is a relationship. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about all the different contexts of these verses. And one of the really, really neat things for me was thinking about, okay, so how many times have I turned my back on God? How many times have I not opened the door as he's knocking? But yet, as the Scripture says, he continues to knock, right? Behold, this is a church. It's a church at Laodicea in the Scripture that God's saying, hey, you guys have turned your back on me. You've done this and you've done this and you've done this and you've lost your way. In fact, he called them pitiful and wretched, right? But God says, behold, what? I'm still standing at the door and I'm still knocking. He keeps knocking. He seeks us out, right? And in the line of work that I do, which is constantly calling on people, and a lot of times it's reaching out to new contacts of big health systems that I need to get in. And a lot of times, guess what? When I send an email or I make a phone call, they don't get returned, right? They don't get returned. And how does that make us feel? It makes us feel terrible, right? But we want what Scripture has for us today, and what he wants us to hear is that God continues to knock. No matter how many times we turn him away, he continues to knock. And so how does it start? Like, how does that relationship that God wants with us start? How does that begin? So the second point here is it starts with us opening the door and letting him in, right? Someone knocks at the door. If you don't open it, the door remains closed. But if you open the door, then we therefore can let him in. And a lot of times this verse is taken out of context. I know I grew up in a faith and denomination a lot of times where they're like, God is knocking at the door of your heart. That's not what this is about. This is not about God knocking at the door of our heart so that we can allow him in for salvation. That's not what this is about. Because remember, he's speaking to the churches. He's speaking to the people that are believers. They are followers of Jesus. But what we need to understand and what we know is that every good relationship starts somewhere. And they're all different, right? Sometimes for us to begin a relationship with someone else, someone has to introduce us to that person. And then, you know, We call that in business like a warm handoff. And sometimes those relationships go a lot better than others. And sometimes we have to introduce ourselves. If there's not someone there that knows that person that wants to introduce you, then we have to introduce ourselves. But the reality is, and sometimes those relationships for us go really, really fast, and you become besties with somebody like that, like really, really quick. And then sometimes it takes time to cultivate those relationships and get on a more intimate level with that person or with that thing. But the reality for us is that we choose who we want to spend time with. We choose that every day. We choose who we want to spend time with and what we want to spend our time doing. And if you think about the two action verbs here in verse 17 and verse 20, I'll start at 19. It says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." So there's two action verbs there, right? The first one is open. We literally have to open the door to allow him to come in. And the second part is that we have to hear. We have to hear. And if you look at all of the letters to all of the churches in Revelation, they all end with, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So he who has an ear, let him hear. I think all of us in here have ears. So we need to hear those things. Understanding that life gets busy, life happens, we get busy, but the reality is that the best friends that I have are the ones that show up. Like they talked about, we have joy in chaos. When there's chaos, the best friends are the ones that show up. And when something happens with those best friends, we are the ones that show up because of that relationship that we have with one another. And I think a lot of times spiritually, we think, or at least I do, I think that a lot of times we think that our relationship begins and ends with salvation. When we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and it's like, okay, that's great. I'm not going to hell anymore. Here we go. I got everything we need, right? But the reality is that Jesus wants to have that relationship with us. He wants to have that relationship with us to make our life better. So that when you hear the song, I've still got joy in chaos. I've got a peace that makes no sense. I can't imagine someone could say that doesn't have a relationship with the maker of the universe, that they have joy and chaos and a peace that makes no sense. That's the kind of security that Jesus gives us. He gives us that peace. He gives us the ability to live a life on purpose and to have impact and to have love and to have joy and to treat people the way that people deserve to be treated. And there's this thought of, and the third thing that I want to talk about is what is our posture? Like what is our posture? What do we how do we receive what God has for us? How do we receive that? Some of us had the opportunity and privilege to go to there's a big conference that happens in Atlanta just about every year, I think for the last 20 years, called Passion. So this year it was Passion 2024. And one of the worship leaders there is a guy named Christian Stanfill. And I saw an Instagram reel the other day of him talking about how they as a worship team prepared for what God had for them at Passion 2024. And he talked about this posture of readiness. He talked about that in everything that they did, with their eyes, with their ears, and with their hearts, they did it with a posture of readiness. And then he said, you know, really what I figured out is that I need to be living in a posture of readiness. Because I think a lot of times God has things for us. He has things that he wants us to open the door and allow him to do, but a lot of times we have our hands so tight on things and we want to be in control that we don't allow him to do what he needs to do in our lives. Nothing could be further from the truth, because that is exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to live life with open hands. He wants us to live life with an open hands. We're the reflection of that. And a lot of times we are in a ready position. when we even come to this place, we're ready, right? Those students here who've been through the happening or who've been involved through the happening, hey, we are in a ready position, getting ready for that weekend 100% every single time. Whether we were going to Passion 2024, we were standing in line 2 hours before the doors opened because we wanted to get a really good seat. You think we're in a posture of readiness? Absolutely, 100%. So I think for us, what the point that God is trying to make through the scripture is, number one, I want to come in. Number two, are you going to open the door? But number three, how are you going to receive me? How are you going to receive me? Is it going to be through a posture of readiness? Or is it going to be through a continuing to hold a grip firm so that we can be in control as people? And so what does that look like? What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? I'll tell you what it looks like. The joy of working with high school students. Good gosh. Stop. Claire, help me. The joy of working with high school students. There's seven brand new Christian Hispanic students every day that pray for revival on our campus. Every day. That's what a posture of readiness looks like. Posture of readiness is 50 to 60 high school freshmen through seniors that meet together on Thursday mornings for a small group Bible study, showing up to school 20 minutes early to be there for that. And then coming back on Friday, the same time, 20 minutes early, to be there for an FCA large group gathering. What does it look like as an adult? What does that look like for us as adults? And I think it's very simple. I think a lot of times we overcomplicate things, but I think it's very simple. I think it's waking up every morning, hands open, saying, okay, God, what do you have for me today? What do you have for me today? I'm going to open the door. I'm going to let you in. I'm going to let you have control over this for me. Posture of open hands. A posture of readiness in everything that we do with our eyes, our ears, and our hearts. And so what would I want to use this illustration, and this is not I'm not throwing shade at Apple. Jack and I were back there talking about headphones, so I was like, hey, actually, it'd be a really great illustration, Jack, so I'm going to bring two pair of headphones. I've had these headphones for a very, very, very long time. They've played out. They're not any good, so I started researching other headphones and found this company called Status Between 3 Inc. It's probably now it's going to show up on all your social media feeds, so I apologize about that in advance. But here's what these headphones are. Highly recommend. 5-star review coming from me, whatever that means. So they contain a 10M dynamic driver, 2x balance amateur drivers. Not really sure what that means, but it sounds really cool. They have hybrid active noise cancellation. That's really great. They have a transparency mode where you can hear what's going on if you're out running. Make sure nothing sneaks up on you. You can connect via Bluetooth. That's all of them, right? It has 6x external microphones and providing unparalleled call quality, and are backed by the Status Audio 30-day performance guarantee and a 1-year warranty. And they also stay charged for 8 hours without having to. You can listen for 8 hours before putting them back into the charger. And the sound is unbelievable. Shameless plug for me. I have no stock in the company, but I will tell you. But what happens to us in our life a lot of times is because everybody's wearing these, we choose these. Everybody's wearing them. Surely they're good. I'm going to choose these, okay? When there really is a better option out there a lot of times. But we choose this one because everybody else is doing it, and it's what we've always done. Instead of choosing this one that might really have an impact on our sound quality of when we are listening to things. And I think the same thing is true in our life. Is a lot of times we continue to choose the same thing because it's what we've always done. Instead of saying, okay, today, God, instead of doing the same old thing, I'm going to choose you. And every day when I wake up, Jesus, I'm going to choose you because I know that you can make a difference in my life. And I'm going to close with this, and it's the... There was a time, if you go back, that there's the music from Passion 2024 is out, came out this week, I think the 1st or 31st or something, or 29th, something like that. But if you will listen to that on Spotify or however you listen to your music, there's an old Michael W. Smith song that on the last day of Passion, the Passion band got up and started leading it. It's called Agnus Dei, and it's a very simple chorus that goes on forever. And if you will listen to the soundtrack for about 14 minutes of that event, even after the band stopped playing, the 55,000 people that were there continued to sing these words. It says, "Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy. You are Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen." And if you will listen to that today on your way home, I can promise you, you will feel what it is that God wants from us. That's all he wants. He just wants us to say, "God, you're holy. You're Lord God Almighty. I want you to come into my life today, and I want you to direct every single thing that I do. I know I'm going to fail you. I know I'm going to mess up. I know I'm going to say things I wish I wouldn't have said. But God, I want you to be in control of that today." Because a lot of times we choose what we've always done. And I'm not here to tell you to believe me. I'm here to tell you to believe God and what he says through his word. Because he says, "Whoever has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. Let him hear." So the challenge for us today is always leave our students with this, is what can we do different starting today than we've done before to change the outcome of something that we want to change? And if we continue to do the same thing, but we don't like the outcome, then that's on us. Because we have choices to make. And the choice for us to make is, do we open the door for God today or not? Do we let him in? Do we let him direct our steps? Do we let him direct our paths? Do we let him direct our words? Or do we just continue to wake up every day with a grip like this instead of a posture of readiness with our hands open? What does he have for us today? So I would challenge us that tomorrow morning when you wake up, instead of going to your phone and scrolling through your email, instead of checking social media, instead of going to that first, go to God first and say, "Okay, God, today's your day. Today's Monday, April 3rd or 4th, whatever tomorrow is. God, what would you have for me today? And I want to follow you. And I want to give this a shot instead of the way that I've always done it." Let me pray for us. God, thank you for your love for us today. Thank you for just the compassion that you have for us, Lord, through just the reading of your word and the way that you choose to communicate with us and the way that you continue to knock to allow so that we would allow you to come in. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity you give us each and every day to choose you. God, I pray that those of us that are here, let us hear what it is that you have for us today, Lord. And make tomorrow, may we make the choice when we wake up, God, today is your day. I choose you over everything else. And Jesus, you are the one that I rely on. You are the one that's going to give me a peace that makes no sense and joy in chaos. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is Communion Sunday. I guess I'll just step down. Today is Communion Sunday, and communion is one of the elements. It's one of the sacraments that we take in the Protestant and the Christian church. So the bread symbolizes the body of Christ. The juice symbolizes the blood of Christ. In taking these sacraments, it is a reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us by literally dying on the cross, so that we can answer that door, and so we can continue to pray to him and talk to him, and so we don't have to pay for our sins. And so as we receive the sacraments this morning, the bread and the juice, let's be reminded of the things that Jesus has for us and the sacrifice that he's made for us. And let me pray over these as we dismiss. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day, God. We thank you for how much you love us and how much you care about us, God. We ask that you will receive the bread and the wine that we have for you, God. May it be done in remembrance of you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is the body of Christ, and it's broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it's poured out for you. So the table is open for all. We'd encourage you to come forward. You can take advantage of the altar. It'll be open as well as our band, a place for us. So the table is open.